Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. You know, there's a lot of talk right now going in the news following the rash of school shootings that have happened across America. On Wednesday of this week was a staged demonstration from many schools across the country of a walkout for the 17 lives that were lost in the most recent school shooting. And I thought with all of this stuff going on, with a march planned in Washington coming up, it was a good time to get the opinions from those who are dealing with this sort of on the ground. And that's by bringing in three members of our high school community to talk about this, who are passionate about this topic. Joining me right now, a couple of seniors from Houghton High School, Daphne Mackey, Eva Nemiroff, and also Jenna Omar. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, it's emotional time, so let's go back to when the news of the school shooting broke. Do you remember where you were when you first heard that news?
Well, I don't think I'm not saying that that's a bad question, but I don't think that that's exactly fair because there's been so much violence in so many school shootings that it's hard to individualize and to separate one happening from all of the other ones that have happened. So I don't think that it's fair to say, where were you when this one happened? Because there's been so much violence.
Well, that's a very good point because I can remember quite clearly the Columbine shooting from 20 years ago. I was living in Port Huron, Michigan when that happened, and it was the number one news story for a long time. Michael Moore made a movie, Bowling for Columbine. It was a huge topic, and people said, what's going on in the country? 20 years later, it's almost commonplace.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, in the time since then, because now there's been a change, because students your age in high school and all through, you know, both younger and older, they're fed up and they want to do something about it. So talk about the response then after all of these shootings.
Well, I think that it's inspiring to see youth taking the lead on this issue, and I think that it's you know, talking about this issue in the way that it's being talked about now is long overdue. But the one thing that is different this time with this shooting that we haven't been seeing with the other ones is that youth are really like on the forefront. And I think that's really important because youth are the ones being affected by this and shouldn't have to worry about going to school and not feeling safe. We should at least afford that much safe pursuit of education in this country. And so I think that's like the main difference in how the response is now, is that students aren't taking it lying down anymore. They're gonna go and do the work that hasn't been done for years now.
We're doing this recording on a Wednesday, and actually literally a few hours ago, many schools around the country, including Houghton High School, participated in a demonstration where students walked out of class for 17 minutes. Daphne and Eva, were you both part of that?
Yes, actually, I and a friend of mine, who are president and vice president of the Equality Club within my school, took the student initiative to organize this walkout for our school because so many students were interested in participating, and we felt it was really necessary to localize such a nationwide moving event. And over 200 students probably showed up today, and we had signs with each of the victims' name on them and a little bio about them, and it was really, really moving. And 7th and 8th graders were also involved, and seeing so many middle schoolers even so moved by it to tears was really just inspirational and moving, for lack of better words.
So that was just at Houghton Middle and High School. It was 200 students?
Yep.
What was the response from faculty and teachers? Were they supportive?
Well, in their contract, teachers have to stay neutral, but they were still supportive of our decision of that we could make whether we wanted to participate or not.
What was the mood during the, was it a moment of silence that you had?
We had 17 minutes, and each minute we rang a little bell and had a student read a bio of one of the 17 victims and hold their sign with their name on it. And other than that, between those minutes of the bio, we had silence, yeah. and it was really emotional.
What was the goal? What did you want to accomplish?
I think everyone's goal with this march was just to bring attention to the issue and in solidarity of the 17 victims and in respect for this recent shooting, and to just bring attention to the idea that we need to do something.
Well, let's lead right into that. What are some of the things that you feel that need to be done? Any one of you can jump in.
I think the accessibility, and we're just going to, you know, cut right in. I think the accessibility of semi-automatic weapons in this country is a problem. And the United States is the only first world developed country with this problem, the only country that has had this many mass shootings. And the one thing that differentiates this country from other developed nations is that nothing is being done about the accessibility of guns that are not meant, were not created to be used by civilians. They were created as weapons of mass destruction. And the fact that the reason this is still an issue is because of big money in politics and gun lobbyists and the NRA, and that the interests of so many in this country and the students of this country are being ignored because of this money, that raises a big problem, and makes you question our system of government.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, and I think that we should even step back to see where the Second Amendment came from. That's the right that everyone's vying for, the one that's supporting this argument that not only should we have AR-15s, but we should support everyone that wants to have a gun, and that it shouldn't be that hard for people to obtain one. The reason that we had the Second Amendment was because at the time, it was so that people could overthrow the government or a militia. And that's not the case anymore. It's turned into an identity that people have. It's turned into something that they feel they need, that they want, that they enjoy having. And we're not saying that we're going to take away all the guns. We're saying that we need to work with legislature and we need to work with each other and kind of come together and say, how can we prevent these mass shootings from happening? And I think that looking at the history of weapons and guns and seeing where the future of them is going, I think that's really important to look at in this context.
Prior to getting involved in this, because I have the three of you as being examples, were you involved in politics? Were you involved in different kind of issues before this one?
Yes, actually, me and my mother last year took an 18-hour bus ride one way to Washington, D.C. for the Women's March. So
I did as well. I went with my stepmom, Holly, and we went down to D.C. and it was in contrast to this year, I think we both went to more local ones. Just seeing the turnout of people that really have their own reasons, of course, for marching. But just seeing how people reacted and what people were marching for, it was so moving. It's really hard to put into words, even for me. I'm a very vocal person, but it's just being in that moment with all of these really strong people who believed in something and saw a better future for themselves and their children and their children's children. It was an unreal experience that I think we can all kind of enjoy and think about.
I asked that question because I've been kind of surprised at some of the criticism of your generation that has come out since the public demonstrations were being made. And if you're following the news, you've heard of them, last month you guys were all eating Tide Pods, and now you're telling us how to eat the Second Amendment. I mean, Jenna's clenching her fist over here because you've heard this, that young people are not intelligent enough to have a discussion at this level talking about fundamental rights guaranteed by the Constitution. Your response?
Okay. First of all, the group of youth that eats Tide Pods and the group of youth wanting to change the world may be
separate groups.
Maybe. We're not all in one bucket. But no, I think that the idea that youth are naive or should stay out of these conversations is very, very dangerous. Youth have such potential to make positive change. They are hopeful. They are optimistic. They think outside the box, and they have a lot of energy and capability to take on things if they have the willpower to do so. They are inheriting this world and its problems, and to just keep them out of it, I think that is asking for a blunt in progress.
Yeah.
And if youth are too young and too naive to talk about these issues, maybe youth are also too young and naive to be exposed to these issues in the first place. We can't have school shootings and have youth traumatized and affected to this extent and then tell them to shut up and not talk about it. I think that they need to talk about it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Also, with students taking the initiative in these issues particularly, I was afraid today to do the walkout because of violence. Last night I was telling my mom, she was like, oh, what are you afraid of? And I was like, I'm afraid of being shot. I'm afraid of, like, and students nowadays know how that feels to be a high school student in the times that we are in right now with gun violence. So we are the ones that have to take the initiative on these issues.
Are you afraid of retaliation from other students who may not agree with your point of view?
Yes, that as well. But also with the school shooters in general, this just is a good time for them to do something like that again with all the students in one place.
Since the last school shooting, there's been several copycat pranks and a lot of people who don't take it seriously. And just wondering, with a lot of the rest of the student body that, don't even see what you're doing as, being serious, that, that you're putting yourself out there, but then you're also, putting yourself at risk, whether it doesn't have to be violence, but also just being criticized for your own actions.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think that that's a really, really great point to bring up. But I think that I'm sure that when I say this, I speak for all of us. We think that everyone else's viewpoints are great. They're beautiful, that people can disagree, that we can have a healthy discussion about this. But we think that it's important that we be respectful of each other's viewpoints and belief systems. And I think that when people are scrutinizing and looking down on what we were there doing today and what we believe in, that's not respectful and that's not kind. And they can have their own opinions and they can talk about it with us in a nice, healthy, kind way. But I think that in our minds, we're not seeing that they're doing anything wrong. We just wish that in some context, they would be more respectful of kind of what we're doing. But again, it's beautiful that people believe different things. It's just the way that they're expressed and communicated should be sometimes done differently.
Eva, a moment ago, you brought up about the Second Amendment and the provisions for a citizen militia, and I was very impressed that you had that information, because Second Amendment is not about hunting; it's not about being able to hunt. I believe it was written in that spirit that you talked about.
Yes.
So let's just talk about then the availability of guns, because many people say that one way to protect all of you while you're at school is not to take away the guns, but in order to provide, perhaps more, maybe, teachers who have had experience with weapons before, or even like we have on airplanes where there's an armed marshal, somebody there that can respond with a weapon to put down anybody that might pose a danger to you.
Listen, with all due respect, the answer to a problem is not to add more of it. The answer is to take it away and not take it away. That was the word, to make sure that it's regulated in a way that it's safe and nothing like this continues to happen. So does anyone want to add on?
Yeah, the issue comes down to accessibility to guns. When you put the gun in the vicinity, it doesn't get more accessible than that.
Exactly.
Personally, I would not trust a situation if I knew that, there were guns available for students to hold on. And even the argument about arming teachers.
Yeah, that would, in the interest of making students feel more safe, I feel like that would
the opposite direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Teachers don't know who's talking in the classroom half the time. Like, someone will say something and they'll yell at someone else for saying it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that arming teachers would solve the problem. And I also think that turning our schools into like
militant zones
that's not healthy for academic prosperity.
Also, just on a different way with that problem. Financially, public schools already lack in finances for many things. So who is going to pay for these weapons themselves, for the training the teachers need, for the person to train the teachers, where to keep the guns?
Well, even adding on top of that, financially and morally, let's follow through on this and say, you know what, we all agree, everything's fine, everyone gets a gun, great. Let's talk about accuracy. Police officers and people that are highly trained in this, I don't have the percentage in front of me, but I know that it's less than...
It was like around 30% under
pressure.
Yeah,
exactly. Under pressure, they have a very, very low accuracy rating. And that's trained people that have been doing this, that have gone through extensive training. What about a teacher that they didn't choose that profession? They have minimal training, they're the bare minimum training, and they're under pressure, they're under stress. And what if they accidentally hit a student instead of the perpetrator? What if that adds to more problems? And I think that even if you agree with everything and you check up everything, well, I don't care about finances and I don't care about this and that, really thinking when it comes down to it, logistically, it doesn't work. It really doesn't work.
I think rather than talking about arming teachers so that they can handle the situation, we should try to talk about preventing the situation
in the first place.
Yes.
All right, so one of those ideas have been to, whether it's just starting with assault style weapons. I know there's some, there's some debate on semantics on what makes an assault weapon, because assault weapons are already technically legal. But let's just, for the sake of this argument, anything that you can use to kill a whole bunch of people in a very, very short period of time is pretty assaulting. So, just for those who, want to write the show and say, an AR-15 is not an assault rifle or whatever it might be. Yeah, we get that. We get the semantics. But let's just talk again about using a weapon to kill a whole bunch of people in a very short period of time. But that's a bad thing. The argument is if you take those away, then people who want to kill a lot of people will simply find something else. They'll pick up my lamp here or attack you with a knife or do something to start trying to cause mass damage. And so you're really not solving anything. They'll drive over people in the parking lot with their car. That has happened before. So they say you're taking away a right from people, but not actually solving the problem of protecting people.
I think a lamp would be significantly less effective. I think that, that averts from the whole point. Obviously, there are other ways to hurt people. But if we know that there are people out there who want to hurt people, maybe the first step is to remove immediate accessibility to very effective tools that they could use to hurt people. We're not saying that we're going to do this and everything's going to be perfect and we're never going to have an instance of someone being murdered ever again, but it will significantly improve the situation because we're not literally giving these people these weapons of mass destruction.
When people 100% agree, I just think when people seek something that they feel that will, quote-unquote, protect themselves, if they're going to go out and buy a gun, why not just use their car? Why go through that extra step of something that they feel will make them safe? So their argument goes both ways. You see, they can't have it both ways and say, I don't want to point fingers and I don't want to say that anyone's wrong or anyone's right. I really truly believe that this is not... This should not be a political issue. This should be a human rights issue. This should be us coming together to find a solution and putting our political views aside. I think that there's so much to work towards. But I think that in terms of pointing fingers and saying, well, no, this person believes this is red, this is blue, this is we don't need that. We need the students that go to school to be safe.
Okay, let me ask you this question: should a person of age, whether it's 18 or 21, a law-abiding citizen with no history of mental health, be able to purchase any weapon that is legal, currently legal? Should they have that right?
Can you expand on that question?
Yeah, okay. Automatically?
Well, they pass a background check.
How extensive is this background check?
No mental health issues, no criminal issues, no current signs whatsoever. Should a person who meets those requirements have the right to go and purchase any weapon that's currently legal?
I don't think it's that straightforward because I think that this is a subjective question because I think that that's not clarifying how much training or not, that's not the right word. How much testing they went through to kind of get to that point to say, yep, they're mentally clear, it's fine. Because I know in other countries such as the Netherlands, I believe it was Australia, I want to say Sweden, and all of those countries, extensive background checks, extensive. And here, it really, really isn't that much. It's so easy to get your hands on.
So is there a level that you can reach that it would be permissible to own?
Yes. And that's what we're trying to work towards.
Yeah. And also, with the car thing, you have to go through more training to drive a car than to own a gun. So when people say people kill people, not guns kill people, well, cars don't kill people. People in cars kill people.
We want to live in a world where it's harder to get a gun than a driver's license.
Yes. And I want people listening to understand that we do not want to take away your guns. We do not want to infringe on your belief system. We're not trying to say that you're wrong. We're just saying that we want to make sure that your kids, your family members are living in a world that's safer, that's better protected, and that if you having a more regulated collection of guns can help with that, then we're asking that you consider that.
Yeah, also with your question, your initial question, 80% of the shootings have been with a legally obtained weapon. Yes. So I would have to say no to your question just of the history of the shootings that we have had, that these people legally obtained their weapon.
I'm talking right now with Daphne Mackey, Eva Nemiroff, and Jenna Omar. They were took part in the student protest today with the marking the 17 lives that were lost and protesting the availability of guns so that to try to stop the school shootings, and I hope I'm characterizing it correctly. You have another opportunity for people to get involved as well. That's coming up on the 24th, I believe. And there's, you know, a big march in Washington and an accompanying march here. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, so local students are excited to organize and put together this March for Our Lives event. We're meeting March 24th at noon at the Portage Lake Lift Bridge. We're just gonna march for our beliefs and march for our safer communities, and
Who's involved in putting this together?
The march is created, inspired, and led by students across the country, but in our area, it's being initiated by students and people our age.
Any connection at all with what's going on in Washington on the same day, or is it just?
Yes, it's a national event.
Okay. What are you hoping to accomplish by participating in it?
I think that we're just trying to talk about what we believe in, making sure, again, everything that we've said, that students feel safe in their schools and they feel safe going to school. And again, this is not something that we're trying to infringe on other people's rights or take away people's guns. We're trying to call for a better system of gun regulation, and that people that get their hands on firearms have the ability to do so responsibly.
With the exception of another school shooting, what's your biggest fear from all this?
Honestly, my biggest fear is that our safety will be jeopardized for speaking out, because a lot of people who are listening will disagree with at least some of what we said. So we hope that people can hear us and hear where we're coming from and learn to disagree without resorting to violence.
That's also my biggest fear with just my name out there.
Yeah.
I was honestly scared to go on the radio and to lead this walkout at my school today just because my name is out there, and some people who disagree, it can be scary.
Another thing you'll have to stay vigilant on as young people getting involved in the political scene is summer's coming. Other things happen in the country that put other things that happened before it on the back burner. And I can tell you just from experience that you have the danger that people will forget about this in time until it happens again. and then you have to start all over. And, you know, unfortunately, this most recent school shooting is not the first. Columbine was not the first. And, you know, it's up to you, I guess, to continue pushing for the message until you get the results that you want. And it will not be easy, and it's not going to end anytime soon. So I want to, again, just, you know, thank you for coming on the program. It's very brave of you to do this. It was a great conversation. If people want to know more about your march or about these issues, do you have a place that you would want them to check it out?
There is a Facebook page called QAnon March for Our Lives. If you wanted to see any more details about the local march, otherwise, the March for Our Lives, I believe, website and just public domains through social media, you should be able to follow up and learn more about the events around the country.
All right. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.